It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemer on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemer.
And we want to thank our sponsors, SeatSitters.com. My husband is flying down to Florida this week to visit his dad. And my husband is one of those people that like poo-poos all the health things. In fact, he said, I usually don't worry about it. I feel like the more germs I expose myself to, the more antibodies I build up.
Yeah.
He's the type of person who just puts himself out there. But he said, I'm actually thinking I should wear a mask for this trip. Just because we don't know what's going on.
Right.
And I said, dude, I have a seat sitter's kit upstairs.
Yay.
So, because it comes with a mask and you just slide the cover right over your seat because
yep.
you don't know who sat in that seat before you.
Mm-mm.
They don't have time to clean them well. And those germs can live on the seats for a good couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So you slide the cover right on. You wipe off your tray table.
With the wipes that it comes
yes,
with.
Yes, it comes with wipes. You wipe off your tray table. You put the mask on. If you're allergic to nuts, you put a no-nut sticker on.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you just don't want somebody handing you a thing of nuts.
Right.
Put the no-nut sticker on there.
Right.
You don't. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But and you can use it up to 6 times.
Yep.
And it's for $20 or less. It is a value, especially these days when the risk of getting sick is higher than ever. So go to SeatSitters.com. Or go to bedbathandbeyond.com in the travel section,
yeah.
and you can find them there as well.
Because this is getting really out of hand.
It
it's
is,
already,
isn't
like,
it?
Surpassed the SARS
yeah.
with the number of deaths. And my son is currently traveling abroad and where he was recently staying. Every time if they left the hotel and came back, everyone had to get their temperatures taken every single time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's pretty.
That's serious.
That's serious. Yeah.
Okay.
So keep yourself healthy.
Keep yourself healthy. Okay, we have to do a little bit of an update. If you listened to our last podcast, the Academy Awards came and went, and Lynn is feeling very happy with herself.
Please, if you did not listen to it now, because you'll see I am not a clairvoyant. I have no
magical
balls.
She just plays one on a podcast.
Yes, I nailed every single one that I said was going to win, won last night, even making history. The foreign film also won Best Picture. Never has that happened.
I wish I would have filmed the moment when your final prediction came true. It was also the first time you'd ever won the
yes.
pool at your own party.
Like I go to all the movies,
you,
I see them all, and I never win.
Lynn actually had won the Academy
yes.
Award herself.
That is
how excited
she was. I almost dented my wall because I like just grabbed my wall and hit my head on it. And I was so happy.
It was something to see.
I'm imagining something like a WWE superstar wrestler finally winning the Royal Rumble
yes.
and like raising the belt above.
A belt's not a bad idea. Maybe I should get our tiara.
There you go.
The person who wins
yes.
wears it to the next party.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I think I might, especially this year, I'll get that.
Then you get to wear it next
right,
year.
Exactly.
The start of a new tradition.
Exactly.
Well, I love our topic for today, and it kind of goes with, because your party last night.
Yes.
Because there's always, I've met most of the people at your party at least once by now. Although I think there was somebody new there last night that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we're talking about 7 things that interesting people have in common. Because I know sometimes I will shy away from public events
mm-hmm.
or parties or whatever because I'm like, oh, I've got nothing to say. I'm just so intimidated. I just feel like I have nothing to contribute.
You know, that's so strange because obviously we both talk an exorbitant amount.
Right.
But when I am like faced with the opportunity to go out with people that are bringing people that I don't know, for some reason, I don't really want to go because I feel like there's a lot of pressure on like, oh, because I talk a lot, like, am I going to have to be the one talking? And then because they don't know me, do they think I'm irritating? And or are they going to think I'm wanting to talk all the time? But that's kind of like my nervous go-to is like, I don't like any silence. Like, I feel like I have to be carrying the conversation. And sometimes I just don't want that.
Yeah, no, I know. Sometimes I feel that way. And sometimes I just feel too intimidated. And if you ever do too, there are actually things you can do or learn how to do to be interesting, for lack of a better word. But I think it's going to help you face those situations, because so you can go in with some ammo and not feel like, okay, I'm not going to be prepared. You know, I'm going to be able to discuss things with people. So the first thing it says is, which is, I think, kind of
funny.
Obvious.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting people are not boring.
Don't be boring, it says.
Okay, but I like the second part of
me
that,
too.
Which is be brief.
Yep.
Be positive.
Yes.
Which I think I'm pretty positive mm-hmm. most of the time. I'm rarely brief. Mm. I got to work on that.
Yeah. All my short stories that I think are short stories, they never are. And I go, I'm always like, I thought this was, in my head, seemed a lot shorter than it's coming out now. I'm sorry.
Right? Yeah. I didn't mean for this to be a novella, but yet here we are.
But I do like be brief because it keeps people wanting more. You're not,
right.
They're not already like summing you up like, oh, God. And be positive because when you meet someone for the first time and if they're like, wah, wah,
yeah.
wah, you're like.
Or they're, I hate everything.
Yes.
Or can you believe how awful that is?
Yes.
It's like, I don't want to talk to negative people.
No.
So, but that's so like say you're going somewhere and you have a negative experience on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
Like say you get pulled over and you get a traffic ticket on mm-hmm. the way there. When you go in, like find a way to shake, like don't lead with that because nobody, you know what I mean? Nobody
yeah.
wants to hear the negative.
Right.
Unless something really funny happened well,
yes.
during it.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
that's obviously.
Well, I was going to say on the list of this is always have three good stories.
Yeah.
Which that helps me because I'm not like a person that like thinks, what are my three good stories? But I can pull three out. But,
yeah.
But that would make a person more comfortable just to have them. So like what Remy was saying, like if I got pulled over by the police on the way there, I totally would turn this into a funny story when I showed up. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
Instead of being negative, I always like try to make that.
Yeah, I liked that piece of advice, too. Have three good stories. But then I realized my job is to figure out what my three good stories
yes,
are.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And take them back to number yes. one and make them brief.
Yeah, I'm positive.
Because this was the second part of that. If no one is asking questions, stop talking.
I love that. Isn't that funny? Like, you go on and on. All of a sudden, you're like, wait, no one's asking. Like, am I the only one that's been talking? Shoot,
tell
I better
me
shut
this
up.
This has happened to you. I'm going to admit, this is really hard for me to admit.
Okay.
But I will be telling a story to somebody and we'll get interrupted
yeah.
by somebody else, you know, and then they'll kind of turn back and I'll go, okay, anyway, I'll continue with my story, never stopping to consider that maybe they were grateful for that interruption.
Yeah. Maybe they're like, oh, she was going to forget.
So last time that happened, it was just last week. I can't believe I'm admitting this.
It's
I kind
okay.
of have hives to admit this.
What?
Yeah. I was telling someone a story. And we got interrupted. And I'd been reading up on all this advice. So I'm like, well, if they don't ask me to continue the story, I'm not going to. Because if they really wanted to hear it, they would ask. They didn't ask.
I've done that too. I'm like, oh, man, this is kind of, I'm dragging this out. I'm not telling this story the same way. Like
right.
in certain instances, the story mm-hmm. goes over great. And sometimes it doesn't. And I've done that too, where you're just like, oh, we got interrupted. Well, I'm going to hang back and let them ask, and if
yeah.
they don't, I'm just going to drop it.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing when they don't, for me, I've been a storyteller in various forms for my entire career. So to see that I still can do it badly, doesn't make me feel very good. I got work to do.
But
I got work to do.
But I think that maybe you're putting too much pressure on yourself because, like you even said, a storyteller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And maybe you're like not getting the cues from the other person of like you just said, Remy said, maybe I'm not telling this the same way I told it. It was a lot funnier earlier. You know, how many times have you said that? This is a lot funnier. I don't know, was it the other people or
right?
is it the way I'm telling it? Right. And people just aren't responding the same. So I find what's interesting
is know your audience.
Yes. Is the stuff that's going on in your mind when you tell a story. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're telling the story, but in your mind, you're like, is anyone getting this? Is anyone laughing? I mean, all these thoughts go through my head. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always like, should I stop now? Is anyone picking up on this?
Sometimes, if the crowd is a little dead, you're like,
yeah.
oh, geez, I'm bombing here.
Yeah.
So a great example this weekend, I met some new people, and it was like their show. you know, and somebody else at the little, it was like six or seven of us in a hotel room, just like having a drink before we went somewhere else kind of thing. And there's a bunch of stories going on. And I just sat back and was very quiet. And somebody later comes, is like, wow, I thought you were super quiet. And now I'm meeting you and it's different. I'm like, it wasn't my time to shine. It was like their show. So I just kind of hung back.
Okay, that's the next piece of advice. Be a good listener.
Yes.
The people we like the most often say the least.
Wow. Okay.
Pick your time to shine, too. You know, if you don't have anything awesome to interject, don't say anything. Sit back and listen.
Well, and I think I've told you, Lynn, about the masterclass that I just listened to. I love masterclass, by the way. They are not a sponsor. I wish they were. I love masterclass. I've listened to so many of them. It's a website and an app, and you can listen to, like, Judd Apatow talk about directing. You can listen to Aaron Sorkin talk about writing scripts. You can learn how to cook from a famous chef. Gordon Ramsay's on there. Like, you could learn anything from the master. So the last one I listened to was a guy named Christopher Voss, who was a hostage negotiator. And he actually played tapes of him negotiating with people who were holding people hostage after they tried to rob a bank or something. And he did an experiment. He brought in an actress and he said, okay, I just want you to talk about, tell me something you're passionate about. And then they had a conversation about it. He never asked her one question, but he mirrored her and had, and by the end of it, she was telling him all kinds of things. He'd offered up no information, but she felt like she loved him. It was so very interesting.
Wow. So he was more of just a listener, kept finding out about her.
Exactly. So it that just reinforced it. So for me, I know now we're all sitting here trying to be good listeners. I'm going to keep talking.
No, but I have found myself when I get to groups of people now trying, if someone is talking, you know, I try to just let them go and talk instead of like, I always think, like I was saying earlier, I have to be the storyteller.
Yeah.
But we have like a group of people, the adults for my daughter's hockey team, the parents, you know?
Yeah.
My husband and I are in charge of, before every hockey game, telling the parents where we're meeting because everyone usually gets there an hour ahead of time. So there's no, usually a bar or restaurant, everyone meet there. Well, you know, it's hard when you don't hang out with the people all the time except for the games. So some people who might not be comfortable just coming to a bar and they don't know all the parents. And I mean, still, you don't even know everyone's names. Like we all have cards that we look at like, so-and-so's dad showed up. He's never been.
Oh,
what's his name?
Hey, you know? Excuse me. Susie's mom?
Yeah.
Did you want another beer?
Yeah. So you try to really like, you try to get this unity going with the parents, right?
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, it was a Saturday, a 3:30 game, so 2:30. So I thought we'd have a good turnout. We literally are there for an hour at this big table we got. No one shows up. It's just my husband and I. So I took a picture of the empty table and I sent it to the entire email. And I said, just in case you guys were wondering how the unity went today, here's how it looked. And then at the end I put, there is a you in unity, is what I put. And so we get to the rink and this one guy's dying laughing. And so the next unity, all these people show up. And I was like, and they're like, oh my God, your email really worked. I said, it's all about good old fashioned peer pressure. But now you've got to figure out like who's going to be like, who's comfortable talking, who wants, you know what I mean? And so I remember like the last few, I just like kind of sat back and it was great. People were telling stories, getting to know each other, laughing. And it wasn't like me feeling like I had to do it because, you know, there was only three of us or four of us. Now it's like getting bigger and everyone's like getting to know each other more. And it's a lot of fun. We like had 10 or 12 Saturday at this old dive bar. I don't know if you've ever been to Mason's.
No, where's that?
Oh, it's really fun. They serve beer in mason jars or anything, but it has been for like 50 years. It's at Schoolcraft in Five Mile.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're a natural leader.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, you are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, who would have ever thought to send out like the picture of the empty table and there is a you in unity?
It's a little guilt trip, passive aggressive, but it works.
It is.
And everybody laughed about it, which is cool. Yeah. As long as nobody took
funny.
It like, oh, God.
Well, so another piece of, another thing people who are interesting have in common is they talk about the other person's interests.
Yes.
And what their hobbies are. And like, so your group, you all have in common, obviously, that your children play hockey.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure you're finding that there are other things you have in common or that people are passionate about. And I like discovering what people are passionate about.
Yeah.
Like what gets them excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And it goes back to asking the questions and listening.
Yes.
Because you could miss out on a lot of fun things. I mean, I love that people do so many different things, like things that I wouldn't be me for me, like, for example, knitting or cross-stitching and all this stuff. Or,
yeah.
You know, or you're taking French. But if I didn't know you, that would be an interesting thing if I met you and we started talking about that, or the fact that you did improv or that you've done stand-up comedy. But you don't find out about that unless you ask the questions.
Exactly.
I'm never one that kind of sits around and waits for people to ask me questions a lot, because I like to, so we can start talking, you know? But I like to find out all these cool little things that people do. Like, I went to a bridal shower yesterday and she registered for a sewing machine.
Okay, I love this.
And I said, I joked and I said, I also brought a shirt in the car that has a hole. True story. I didn't actually bring it, but I do have a shirt with a hole that I can't sew. And she goes, well, I thought, you know, if I'm really going to be like this wife thing, you know, I go, wait, I've been a wife for like 23 years. I have no sewing machine. Is this where I've gone wrong? And someone next to me said, I'm in the same boat. I have no sewing machine. And I've been married over 20 years. I was like, a sewing machine. I found it so interesting. I had to buy that.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Wait, you bought the sewing machine?
Yeah, I bought it for her.
Oh my God, that cracks me up.
Because as soon as I saw it, I was like, sewing machine? That's cool.
That's very, okay, so that's, okay, have three good stories. That is an example of a great story. And especially since it's about people, not things.
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to hear how you finally learned to work an app. Or
yeah.
How you finally got the oven light that wasn't working for 2 years. How you finally got it turned back on.
Yeah. So that's good. Those are good examples. Because I'd be like, why am I listening to this?
Exactly. So when you have your three good stories, they should be about interesting people, like the bride who registered for a sewing machine. That's just a perfect example.
I mean, like in 2020.
Right?
My sister-in-law said, well, what do you do when the button falls off, whatever? I go, I just go to the dry cleaner. And I say, can you put the button on? I'm not, hey, I know what I can do and I can't. I cannot buttons on. Yes, sure. Remember, we did a thing.
Yes.
I choose not to do that.
Yes.
Because I don't think it would hold up well, but.
You can learn to sew buttons on. It's actually quite
easy.
Yes,
I'm sure I could.
The next piece of advice is when you are speaking, if you want to be interesting, speak emotionally. And I found this very interesting. Words only account for 7%. 7, not 70. 7% of the communication between people.
Now, I didn't really understand what that meant.
It means that the rest of the communication, what people recall from, so if we sit there and had a discussion and I had to talk about it later, like scientists pulled me aside and said, what do you remember about talking with Lynn today? And I would be like, oh my God, she thought it was so funny that somebody registered for a sewing machine that she had to buy it. And she was making jokes about it. And sewing machine is the only word I would recall. I would not recall any of the other words you used.
Really?
But I would remember how excited you were by it, how you thought it was hilarious, how you lit up when you were talking about it, how your body moved. All those other things account for much more of communication than the actual words.
Yeah, nobody's going to be able to write a transcript of what you said, which is the 7%, the words that you use. But the inflection, your tone, your, you know,
demeanor.
That's why nobody ever remembers the college professor who was like monotone and boring because there was nothing interesting. It was so boring. It was a terrible class. Yeah, because he read it to you just like this.
I did have a professor like that in college.
Shouldn't be a teacher. Sorry.
Yeah.
I said it.
Well, there it is. Boom.
Mic drop. Mic drop on bad professors.
And that's it.
I'm so sorry. Be somewhere interesting. You can't always control that. I mean, if you can choose a location for, you know, I guess interesting people do look to be in interesting places. So maybe that is good advice.
Except it's like what your idea of what an interesting place is might not be my idea of interesting place. Cause I think I'm like pretty simple. Like I like, some of the coffee places that like aren't like the Starbucks.
Yeah.
But like they're really different looking. There's one in Northville called the Red Dot. And it's just really cute the way they have it set up and what all the things they have on the walls, the quotes. And I don't know, it's like cool to be there. And I think it's a pretty interesting place. Like every time I meet someone there, they're always like, oh my God, this place is so cool here.
I think that's why those places are still around though.
Yeah.
Because they are interesting. Like nobody's going there to work, and not knocking Starbucks here, although they're not a sponsor either, so what's to stop me?
Exactly. That's a good selling point.
I'm going to just keep mentioning who's a sponsor and who's not. Most of them, not.
Not.
But
not yet.
Exactly. But you go to Starbucks to work.
Yeah.
Like, but when you go somewhere to hang out with somebody, you choose.
Yes.
You choose an interesting place. Well done. You get one right.
Thank you. Thank you. But I mean, I think you run out, if that one's on your mind a lot, I think you could run out of like things easily that are interesting. Like, as I'm thinking about this, I'm like, oh, okay. When you're dating, everyone tries to go to places interesting, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, so you do the zoo, you do the DIA, you know, you do those, and then where am I going? You know what I mean? Like, there's
a lot of interesting
places. I'm sure there
places.
Is, but I mean, I can't even recall any I've gone to in the last year.
For my birthday, you took me down to the Detroit Shipping Company.
That is cool.
And we sat on the second floor, and there was all
that
this
was
art
cool.
up there,
mm-hmm.
and it you could people watch.
That's very true.
It was interesting. It was an interesting place.
That is true. Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting places.
There is, but I'm saying if I put a lot of pressure on myself to pick those all the time.
True.
You know, then I might forego the meeting, you know, just say, I have nowhere interesting to go. Where do you have any place you want to be?
Yeah. And the last thing on the list, which again is kind of a given, I think, is if you want to be an interesting person, live an interesting life.
And see, that's exactly what I think you do a good job of, because you're always doing things, always like educating yourself, learning things, doing more.
Well,
I really
thank
do.
You. I guess I don't know. I like to see what's out there.
Yeah.
I'm a very curious person.
Curious. Did you do that on purpose?
I'm wearing it too.
Oh.
I am.
I made Stacey a bracelet. Yes. Me, whose face is, when you look up Pinterest fails, it's me. But these aren't sponsors either.
No.
But there's a company called My Intent, and they make these bracelets, and you can put words on them. But I wanted to get one for everyone at my Oscar party last night, and that would have like blown my budget. So I noticed that they sold a kit. So,
but you had to make them yourself.
Make them myself. But I thought of the word for everyone that I thought it reminded me of. And my husband helped me big time with making these, because this was not as easy as I thought it was going to be. But Stacey's, I put curious, because I feel like she lives her life very curious, which is great.
It's very thoughtful and sweet. And you probably didn't have to sew to do it, did you?
No.
No sewing.
In fact, it's funny.
It was pounding.
It
was fun. I got to do one later.
But it's proof that everybody is good at something.
Like, yes.
You were good at being thoughtful and thinking of like a really nice thing to give as a gift for people.
Thank you.
And you didn't have to be good at sewing to do it.
No, but lo and behold, she tells me as I'm sitting there telling how much stress I had with, because I screwed up like four of them, which I'm wearing the four because you can't take it off. I'm wearing the four or one at a time as a reminder that practice makes perfect. That's how I made a good thing out of it.
There you go.
But she was like Rosie the Riveter or whatever in another life. I didn't even know it because she picks up the thing. She's, oh, I can do this. I'm like, well, you got to be really. She's, trust me. I'm like, no, but it's got to be. She's like, I got this. Then she pulls out, I worked in a factory. I was like, wait, what?
I ran a riveter.
A riveter.
It's one of my three good stories.
Oh, good.
Mine too, like old jobs that I've had.
Yeah.
People are like, you did what? Like, you used to shovel coal on a steamboat? I really did.
That is cool.
I used to shovel coal on a steamboat. It's a great
story. Wow.
We don't have time for it today.
Okay. Well, so I said, oh my God, I wish I had a feeling she probably could have helped me, because I almost called her on Saturday because I kind of soft-sold my husband. And I said, well, since this is weird that we don't have anything that we have to be at before the hockey game tomorrow. So I was hoping you could maybe help me with those bracelets. I just kind of slid it in real quick. And then, like, took a drink of coffee, you know, and he was like, wait, what?
My
what
husband would have been at the gym so fast. Like, I got to go. Like, his bag would have been at his hand before I finished the sentence.
Your husband
is so much better at that.
I was like, what, will we do it? Will he do it? And then literally 2 hours to make, like, 18 bracelets. So
that's a lot of work.
It was.
It was very fun, but it was a lot of work. It was a great party. But I loved this article. We'll post it on our website, Stacey and Lynn Podcast.
I think there's a lot of things to consider, not only just about being the interesting person, but listening more and paying more attention to be interested in more people around you and learn stuff that they're doing and ask some questions. And I just think if everyone did that, I mean, it would make a lot less people a lot less uncomfortable, because some people aren't as comfortable talking.
Exactly.
Going into situations.
And when you're listening to other people and finding out how interesting they are, they become one of your three interesting stories.
Yes.
It's a cycle.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah. 2 days later, I'm like, oh, I just met this girl the other night. Craziest story ever. Right.
And then there's exactly. And right. then it's all perpetuates itself.
Yes.
And it's just one big happy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love big happy things.
Hey, we'll also post in the next week here.
Oh, yeah.
As like we did last year, we had a favorite things bag for the Oscars, and we will post all the goodies that were in the bags this year. Every year I'm amazed.
Yeah, me too.
Because there are always such great things in there.
Yeah.
I love it.
I was excited. I went through mine this morning, and it was very fun to open it and go through it again and look at everything and go, oh, yeah, I remember when she said that.
Yeah.
It was
loved
very
it.
Fun. Okay, check out our website, StacyandLynnPodcast.com, because you could win a version of our swag bag. And so we'll put all the products on there. We'll tell you how you can win it. And check us out on social media. It's not just you, Stacy and Lynn Podcast on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. And again, StacyandLynnPodcast.com. Our website will get you to all of our social media. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'd love to hear your thoughts on interesting people.
Yeah.